The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Building of 3 and 4 bed semi-detached houses in Dublin is to be a thing of the past, as plans are underway for a high-density series of neighbourhoods across the capital. But what does that mean for those looking to settle and raise a family? The new Dublin City Development Plan 2022 to 2028 is exploring the ways that the city can maximise the potential of land within the M50, as well as address climate concerns and the poor development decisions of the past. I'm joined now by City Planning Officer at Dublin City Council, John O'Hara. John, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me.
You might outline what the city might look like in, say, 20 years based on this plan being implemented over the next decade. What's the city going to look like? I mean, these villages around within the M50, are they going to be like 20 stories high? What's it going to be like?
Okay, Pat. Well, the new city development plan, as you outlined there, for the next 6 years, upon which we're out in public consultation at the moment, the vision in that plan we hope to set up for is that a city on a European model. It will be a city that will have to accommodate a projected population of an extra 70,000 people within the M50. And we have to look seriously at how we accommodate that extra population. Up to now, there has been, in the suburbs, there's been a history of four bed semis, which work out at the old 12 to the acre, 30 units per hectare. But studies from Europe, etc., show that in order to get sustainable transport, shops and all that are viable for a living and workable city, you need to be getting to 60 units per hectare and beyond, i.e. twice the density. So the strategy that's coming down from the national planning framework through the regional strategy, and which we have to explore in the development plan, is how we get that extra population into the city. If you look at our household size, which is at 2.4 at the moment, that means we have to be providing in the order of 30,000 new homes in the next in the next 6 years. 30,000 new homes works out at 4,000 to 5,000 per annum, and the challenge for us is how to get quality density in a balanced way, and to balance that and keep the essential character that is Dublin, that makes people want to come here to work and live, and to keep our green space, because as we've seen
okay, that from so you're going to have to go up, that's for sure,
and well, that's the conclusion.
Sometimes, you know, you have to go up higher than you might think is necessary because you want to provide space between the blocks so that people can recreate. So it's not simply just, seeing how many square feet you need or square meters and then going up the appropriate stories. You might have to go double that in order to create the green spaces around. So that's all to the good. The question, though, of apartments, none of the apartments I've seen, even very high-end apartments, seem to have enough storage for people to do normal living. They tend to minimise the space they offer to people willing to rent or buy. You've got to address that. To if you want the European model, everyone's got to have a calf in the basement. There might be communal laundry rooms, gyms, all of those kind of things. It's not, two beds with a cupboard in the hallway.
Yeah, exactly, Pat. And that's a matter we would love to hear representations to that effect in the consultation that's going out. We will take those on board. And now there's two aspects here. First of all, there's national minimum standards set out by government with regard to apartment sizes.
But I've seen new apartments recently, and there still isn't not enough storage for people.
I agree.
A Christmas
with that.
Tree. Where do you put the Christmas tree?
One thing that we're looking at is that for the basement areas in apartment schemes, with reduced parking, if there's more parking for rent to car, etc., and reduced parking, better public transport, then the leftover space, because you still need the basement areas that will still be there, they can be used for storage areas for your Christmas trees and for those who are fortunate.
John, you're speaking to me as if this is like the newest idea in the world. This is done everywhere. You talk about the European model. 40 years ago, travelling through Europe, I saw systems like that where people had storage in the basement. All of those kind of things. We don't have to reinvent it. We just copy what's good.
We do, yeah, exactly. And that may well be an approach. I would like to see that approach taken in the new city development plan. And if there's a weight of opinion towards that, we will look towards amending the standards. But part of that will be consultation with the Department of Housing and Planning to see whether the standards can be changed in that way. The other part of that is that we need to deal constructively with the construction industry and the development sector, because the argument from the development community so far is that in order to keep costs down, storage costs that need to be kept down. We need to reevaluate that and work with the
Sector, if they can do it in other countries, we can do it here, John. Forget about the lobby groups and the pressure groups and so on. They will be laughing all the way to the bank. So don't worry about them. It'll happen, and it'll happen at the right price. Don't worry about that, because they'll be out of business if they don't build at an appropriate level that people want to live in. Now, the question of buying versus renting, obviously social housing will be provided by local authorities, and that's fine. And they should be to a very good standard to make them livable in. But the question of you guys in planning departments allowing developers to build to rent so that people can't buy anymore, that's a very bad trend which has emerged in the last few years. So there's loads of property being built, but none of it can be bought. That's not good.
It's one of the phenomena, Pat, of the Irish economic system that, on a broad point, it does skew from one extreme to another. When we introduced in the last development plan the whole idea of promoting apartment dwelling, it wasn't countenanced that virtually all of the apartment applications would be for build to rent. We envisaged that there would at least be a 50-50 build to sell, but whatever way the market system has worked, it has skewed one way. It's the same with other sectors.
Yeah, but you've got to take, when you're planners, you've got to take the market into account. You know, because I'm looking at, for example, even though the minister says no more co-living, permission has been given at Kiley's in Donnybrook for a co-living development, which was in the planning system. So I'm not quibbling with that. It was already there. But the way to, you know, sort out the people who want to pursue this particular line of housing is to put a cap on the rents. So, okay, you can build a shoebox for people to live in, but you're only allowed to charge €500 a month. That would sort out that problem very quickly.
That would. And at a personal level and a professional level, I would agree with you. I would agree also that the price of property is associated with the price of the underlying land. But there are matters here that we as planners in the planning authority can deal with. There are other matters that need to be dealt with at national level. And one of the things at national level that need to be dealt with is rental levels and the value of land underneath properties. In our development plan, we deal with spatial aspects with all of those aspects, but we cannot get involved in actual price mechanisms or
each has to go hand in hand. There's no point in having a wonderful plan that is not economically viable or livable for the citizens. Now, John, if people want to put their tuppence worth into this development plan, what do they do?
Well, we're aware, because of the COVID strategy, we've developed a new communication strategy. You have two ways of engaging with the development plan. We have the dublincitydevelopmentplan.ie dedicated website. If you go into that, there's an issues paper, and then there's a portal for you to make your submission. That's one way. The other way you can go is the old traditional way of just write to the development plan team here in the civic offices, and that's set out on the website as well. Yeah. We will take all those submissions, and in the past development plans we've had 3,000 to 4,000. We'll read all of those. We'll put them in a chief executive report, take them to our 63 councillors, and it is our 63 councillors as a body who progress the development plan through the next 2 years. So I just want to stress
one final technical matter, John, because I've come across it in Dunleary Rathdown, where people put in a planning application, and then if you want to have a look at that planning application, well, the planning office is closed. And, you know, they're very tardy in actually putting up the plans online. And if you're not computer literate, you can't go into the planning office and actually have a look at the plans. What are you doing in Dublin City Centre? Are you doing the same? Have you locked up, or can people still go in and have a look?
No, you make you just there's a phone line. You make an appointment, just like you do if you're going to see a doctor or whatever, and you come in and you can view the plans by appointment. In addition to looking at them on the on the website, the dedicated website.
Okay, because there could be a kind of a deficit in fairness to the citizen if the developers can go ahead with their planning and there are deadlines which are enshrined in law, but the punter can't actually see the plans to make a decision whether to observe
or
not.
Yeah, I accept that. That is an issue. But we're trying our best through this COVID crisis to reach, to make sure that there is no inequity in accessibility to the planning system.
Okay, well, let's hope that Dunleary Rathdown follow in your example of meeting people by appointment to give people the chance to observe if they so wish. John O'Hara, City Planning Officer at Dublin City Council, thank you very much.